Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantland Rice, Damon Runyon. One day, this man will have read them all. The program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
All right, we are officially out of our 810 t-shirts. Keep listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. We will have more. We will have more, but I was only allocated so many. Those went fast. 1 hour. 1 hour. We were only given 4,500 of them. They went in an hour.
Boom.
That's tell you
that's
what.
That's how much is that per hour?
That's close to over 4,000.
Yeah.
If my math is correct. We maybe didn't have quite that many.
That is awesome.
But, yeah. The passcode worked. Everybody came in with the passcode. Just gave away our last one. So yeah. Thank you to everybody for coming in.
The highlight was the guy who wrote it out.
Wrote it out because he wanted to be subtle.
And kind of did the left and right.
Look, make sure, because we don't want to give it away.
That was strong.
I'm sure this lady right there, she's very nice. She didn't care that we're here.
Nope.
She's not listening. Why would I give her a t-shirt?
Three dopes sitting at a table.
She finds out that there's free t-shirts. She'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll take one. Sure. And then you know what she's going to do? She's going to wash her car.
Yep.
No. We wanted listeners only.
Yes.
So hence we the password plan. I like that. The Border Patrol. Great idea on that one. All right. Let's talk some NFL football. Curtis, you just said the news. Matt Derrick.
Yep.
From Chiefs Digest and right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB tweeted out what about practice before we bring on Bob?
Defensive tackle Chris Jones and tight end Travis Kelce limited in Friday's workout. Jones with the calf, Kelce with the knee. Safety Jordan Lucas did not practice due to illness again. He says if the Chiefs were playing on Sunday, the club labels Jones and Lucas as questionable. No designation for Kelce. So I limited, but they both played considerably on Sunday.
I'm not worried about either one of them.
We're a week away.
Is Bob Glauber worried about it? You know, he's our NFL insider. He joins us each every week. Today he joins us here at Hen House as we're over by the all the beer section. Why wouldn't we be, right? Great spot for us to be. And, of course, you can also sample our friends CBD American Shaman have their great sparkling water. A couple of different flavors. You can sample it before you buy it. And, of course, that's on sale at all your neighborhood Hen Houses. And Hen House has everything. Everything you could possibly want for your big Super Bowl festivities. So when you're having a big party for the big game, make sure you get to your neighborhood Hen House. It's where I go. Their delicatessen has so many great things for your party. Of course, the meat counter, if you're going to be making up any kind of real spread, going to be smoking some meat, the meat counter here at Hen House is absolutely the best. Go to henhouse.com to find the location nearest you and to see all of their specials. Bob, welcome to the Sprint Guest Line. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I just want to, can I do a little housekeeping here?
Sure.
Okay. Number one, Matt Derrick, good dude. Don't know if you know him, good dude. Number two.
We've met.
Okay. Number two, I think Curtis just named the show for eternity. Three dopes.
What's that?
At a table.
Three dopes
three
at a table.
Three dopes at a table.
Three dopes at a table, weekdays at 2.
Wasn't that the song that Steve Martin was trying to get him to start singing in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when they were doing this thing? Okay. Three dopes at a table.
Fat guys in
little
coats.
I love it.
Yeah.
And you said, what right, did you have? You had 25,000 shirts went that quickly?
That's right.
That's
right.
45,000.
That's right. Yeah, it is. It's stunning. I'll tell you what, just so you know, I don't want to, you know, be flippant about this, but the medics are still treating some of the people that were trampled.
Mm-hmm. It was rough.
Wow.
It was a rough deal.
Now, did I tell you?
People in the parking lot fighting for shirts.
It was all for a good cause.
I tweeted this, and maybe this person is going to come forward, because my wife correctly pointed out that I was a dope for not pursuing this for a story, but so it's the day after the game, morning after the game. I'm in my hotel, getting ready to go to the airport, go home. and I see a guy in the elevator. He's in a Chiefs jacket, and he's got, like, talk. There's talk coming from him, his person, and he says, "Hey, sorry, man, I got talk radio on. I'm just living the moment. Sorry." I go, "That's fine, you know. Congratulations. I think it's great." He says, "Yeah, I was at the game. Scattered my father's ashes over the field." In my head, I'm like, what? So I go, "Wow, you got onto the field? And I mean, how'd you do this?" He says, "Nah, I just poured him in my beer and, you know, dumped it on the field over the, you know, at the lower seating." I was like, "Wow." He says, then he goes, "Yeah, my dad, he first started taking me to Chiefs games in the 90s, Montana, it really means a lot." Like, you know, I lost my father a year and a half ago, so I'm kind of getting a little teared up with this guy. And I'm like, "Oh, my God, football means a lot to people, doesn't it?"
It does. You didn't at least stumble when he said, "I poured my father's ashes into my beer"?
Well, look, you know, it was one of those quick exchanges, and this is why my wife, again, correctly put, "You should ask." It's like, okay. Then I'm like, I asked him, like, "How did you do it? How did you scatter them?" Because I'm thinking, you know, this is not really allowed. I mean, people have tried to do this, but she says, "Yeah, I said, did you put them on the field?" He goes, "No, I just put them in the beer so I could, you know," and then I poured the beer on the field. So someone correctly pointed out on Twitter, you know, it's illegal to do that, to pour ashes on a field, but he got away with it by putting them in his beer. So, you know, nobody could really trace that. I mean, it's kind of insane. And this is like, I'm just trying to shake the cobwebs out from a long night and getting ready to go home on an early flight. And I'm like, what just hit me? What just happened? The Chiefs happened.
Yeah.
Half a century.
Listen, I'm not hating on the guy, but I just like,
no.
I mean, he needed a delivery method. The beer was that method.
And it wasn't all of his father's ashes. I recall there's
No. I mean,
it'd be a lot to fit in one.
Maybe
beer.
His father was right. A small man.
True, could have been.
Yes, there are many. From what I know, there's a lot of ashes. So you know, probably took a handful and took them with him. But I honestly think that's a very cool emotional story that really kind of captures just how unique this is and just how special it is and how
it,
50 years
it is
a long friggin' time.
It is. It's also against the law, and you are now thereby wanted for aiding and abetting.
I
you had knowledge of a crime. I've seen Law and Order.
You're an accomplice after the fact.
You know, like, I almost got arrested at Joe's standing on line with a beer not in a paper bag, and
yep.
Now I am going to get arrested for not reporting a crime. Oh, my God.
Being an accessory after the factory.
Yeah, that's pretty sad there, Bob. Okay. Do you got any other stories of death that you'd like to share with us before we continue?
No, not offhand. That was it.
Yes. I think.
Hey, let's have a fun segment with Bob.
Listen, man. Listen, fella. Okay? This is what radio's about. You think people are going to be talking about, let's analyze Chris Jones's calf, and let's see if Travis Kelce will hold up. No. Hey, honey. On the radio,
and
some guy put his father's ashes in his beer and poured it on the field at Arrowhead. Can you believe it? Trust me,
and by the way,
talking about it, yeah.
My guess is that was not the weirdest way that someone celebrated that win on Sunday. Not even close.
Well, and if I could add.
Or let's say weird, let's say unorthodox.
So if that wasn't the weirdest, and if that kind of thing's a regularity, no wonder MRSA is a problem in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily everyone doing that, but stranger or more uncommon things.
Let the guy have his moment. Football does mean a lot to people. I learned that covering my first high school football game ever. And I used to pick the games in the local paper, and I picked against the home team in the local paper that I was working at. So the home team, it was a road game, but the local team goes on the road and they win the game. So this little short, squatty nose tackle comes up to me after the game and starts swearing at me. I don't know this guy, but he's from the team that won, that pulled the upset. You son, F you. We showed you, we showed you, MF. I'm like, whoa. Like, hey, dude, congratulations. You won a football game, and I was wrong. Like, wow, that was an immediate introduction. This guy ended up
Tom Brady
contacting me.
Yes.
He was a football coach at where the Patriots used to train. Up in near Providence, I forget the name of the school, and they would train there every summer, and he was the football coach up there. He contacted me one year, found my email. Hey, Bob, not sure I remember you, you remember me, but my name is Marty Fine, and I coach up at, God, I wish I could remember the name of that school. So I
we don't care. It's not in our neighborhood.
I email him back. Not remember you? Are you kidding me? You almost killed me in my first game covering high school football. Now multiply that times 100, and then you got people's affinity for NFL football, and you multiply that by 1,000 for Chiefs fans who have waited half a century to get back to this very moment. It's pretty incredible.
Some of them couldn't wait. They got poured out on the field.
Is it Bryant College?
That is correct,
Smithfield,
sir.
Rhode Island?
Yeah, it is correct. Bryant College, Marty Fine. I think he's out in New Mexico somewhere now.
I really wish you would have let that breathe just a little bit, Curtis.
Why?
So we could have appreciated that some people can't wait. And they were poured out on the field.
Yep. I
thought that was...
Some people cannot wait.
Bryant College? Is it Bryant College? Been scouring the net for the last 3 minutes, Bob. Is it Bryant College?
Yeah, but what?
So that Bryant College.
I sound like that.
But yeah. Siren, here's what Curtis did. But here's what Curtis did. He prevented me from wanting to vomit when you said that. so he helped me. I know it ruined the spot. But try it again.
I'm not going to try it again. But I did think while you're telling the story, so I poured him in my beer. Like at some place he was going to accidentally drink his dad.
Oops.
Oh. Yeah, that would have been, then I would have walked away from the guy saying, this guy is nuts.
I don't think you still fully grasp the wrongness of that story. You find it a warm and fuzzy about the meaning of football to people, and in reality, a guy took his dad's ashes, put it in a beer, and threw it on a field.
Think about this a moment. If he knew it was illegal, which apparently it is, he, you know, this guy wakes up. He's, I'm going to the Chiefs game. I'm gonna bring dad. This is dad. Dad's not here. Dad can't be with this. But
taking
I'm gonna bring part of dad to this game because this is so emotional. And the guy is overcome. I don't know, Siren. I'm going. We should have a poll. Is it warm and fuzzy, or is it macabre and morbid?
Or just like warm and fuzzy, or not warm and fuzzy?
Not warm and fuzzy.
Warm and fuzzy or wrong? Go ahead, put one up. Yeah, put a poll up, Curtis.
Okay, I'm going warm and fuzzy.
You're going warm and fuzzy.
I'm down with it.
Yeah. I'm warm and fuzzy.
I have my mom and dad's ashes on a shelf in my apartment. I wouldn't mind if one of those things was if he was on Arrowhead somewhere. I'm okay with it. I wouldn't do it, but I'm okay with it being done.
I don't. It's nothing personal.
Yes, sick. That is personal. That was very personal.
Well, clearly now you just shared it with us.
I didn't do it. I said I would do it. I wouldn't do it, but I'm okay with the guy doing it. I didn't even say I would do it. The only thing personal I shared was that my parents' ashes are in my apartment. That's not that a billion people have that truth about
themselves. I'll bet not.
Now, Siren, just let's wrap it up with let's wrap it up this way, my man. We're still talking about this, and you find it fascinating. So I win.
I don't find it fascinating.
You find it something enough to keep talking about it. It's something. It's incredible.
Yes. Yes, Bob. You got me. I have slowed down to look at the wreck as I go by. Yes. Yes.
You parked the car and walked back to the wreck and are taking pictures.
I did not.
Look at this. Oh, my gosh.
No. Yeah. Officer Glauber keeps dragging the wreck down the road in front of me.
That's true. That's good. You're both true. You're both outside the car, though.
Yeah. And then Curtis chiming in. Yeah, I do it.
You both have exited the vehicle, and I stopped by, and I crossed over from the oncoming traffic. Hey, what's that? Is that a crash? Marcy, come over here. Look at this.
I
wonder if either one of these guys went to Bryant College.
Bryant College, that was the Patriots train?
Yeah, it's in Smithville, up near Providence.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There's a drop that
Marcy,
I'm waiting on, Jed.
When Marcy sounds like Edith Bunker for some reason.
Good job,
there's
boys.
A drop, Jed. I shouldn't have to tell you which one.
A drop?
Yeah, there's a sound drop. I would just...
Uh-oh.
That was awesome?
No.
That's what I was thinking of.
How you doing?
Curtis Seabolt, show killer.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. There it is. There it is. Curtis Seabolt, show killer.
I don't
We need the awesome. Voice cat to make a new one. Yeah, we need the voice cat to make a new one that says Bob Glauber, show killer.
Wow.
All right, let's take a break because there's no coming back from that. Speaking of soggy ashes, how about that Chris Jones report? No, it doesn't work. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with Bob Glauber, and we'll talk about the Super Bowl. Turns out the Chiefs are in it. That's next here in the program. We're live at Hen House.
The program with Soren Petro.
He's a big hoss, about a 260-pounder.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. The coldest game time temperature for an outdoor Super Bowl occurred in what city? Should we ask Robert Glauber if he has an idea?
That's fine. What city was the coldest Super Bowl?
Coldest outdoor Super Bowl.
Oh, I know this one.
39 degrees.
I got this one. Bob, coldest Super Bowl, 39 degrees at kick, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
York?
Mm-mm.
No, you're incompetent.
Actually,
Bob Glauber is with us. You know, he's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North.
you're
just so you know. You can take advantage of indoor bike nights, January 30th, Outlaw Gym and the Whiskey Benders, February 27th, Bob Harvey. And of course, all the trades always accepted, and of course, a huge selection of new and used Harley-Davidson motorcycles. It is Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 at Tiffany Springs. We're at Hen House. 135th and Metcalf, where you can stock up on everything you need for the big game, including the real beer, great selection of the beer for your big game festivities. And, of course, everything back at the meat counter if you're going to be smoking some meats, what have you, put some burgers out. They got you covered there. Delicatessen's got all the dips, all the fun stuff you could possibly want. It's at your neighborhood Hen House. What were we playing for there?
Playing for Good Sense.
Good Sense. You can order that. I might need to do that.
Yeah.
My wife has told me we cannot go to dinner because she's got to sign up my daughter for some camp activity in the summer. Can I tell you that I would really like the people that run this activity to give some thought to setting the sign-up time at 7 o'clock on a Friday night?
Strong.
So goodsitsubs.com. Might be necessary for me. You can order it right there online. Mine's a couple of clicks. We've got everything saved. And by the way, Bob, Eugene has guaranteed a Chiefs victory.
He is guaranteed.
He's guaranteed a Chiefs victory. So know that, Bob. He is guaranteed a Chiefs victory.
All right. Of more importance, the coldest outdoor Super Bowl. Is it a little bit of a trick question, Curtis, in that you wouldn't expect it from this kind of city?
Yes, it is in that ilk.
Okay.
Yes.
In the south. So how about New Orleans?
There you go. You Googled it. I gave you plenty of time to Google it, and he actually pulled it off. Yep. I'm proud of you.
39 degrees for Super Bowl VI. It was 49, by the way, in East Rutherford, which is the one you're talking about.
Yeah, which was after, because I covered that Super Bowl, six straight days of 11.
Yeah, it was 50. Yeah.
And then the next day, it was like an 8-inch snowstorm. So we dodged a bullet there.
Oh, yeah, there were people who had trouble getting out of there with their flights the next day. I remember that.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Bob, what do you think? What's your first reaction to the game? Oh, by the way, one other thing. We got a lot going on here.
Yep.
We've got the poll, Bob. We're starting to get feedback. We did a poll.
You did a poll on crazy or, like, gross or not?
This is how Curtis phrased it. A man put some of his father's ashes in a beer and poured it onto the field at Arrowhead Stadium after the Chiefs beat the Titans. Was it warm and fuzzy, or was it not warm and fuzzy? And right now, not warm and fuzzy, 98%.
Not even close. No. No.
Really?
He can't see it.
Yeah, that's true.
Bob can't see it.
But I'm on the side that's actually winning.
Yeah.
So I want that out there.
Actually, warm and fuzzy is just under 71%.
Oh, I'm going to punch you in the face when I see you.
At the AFC Championship game next year.
No, I'll see him in Miami.
Oh, Super Bowl. That's right. You'll see him in a week.
Yeah, I will punch you
in
the face. And I will feel really good about it. And then we'll go on the air and we'll talk about it. Okay?
Okay.
You'll pour an ash-filled beer over his head.
Yeah.
So really, Warm and Fuzzy did win? Is winning?
Yeah, it's winning. I've still got time to rally.
Yes, some of the counties, Cuyahoga County hasn't weighed in yet. So
would you give what a couple of the responses that came with it were?
One guy says segment was funny as hell in a twisted, sick way, not warm and fuzzy. One guy says, I wish if I were gone, my kids would have done that.
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
Curtis knows Seren. Some of our best.
Yes, that's true. Curtis does know me.
I know him.
Curtis knows Seren. Good point, Bob.
20 more than 20.
Dynamite drop in.
He knows good radio when he sees it, when he comes across it. He's trying to bail you out, Seren. He's trying to help you.
Is that what it is? Okay.
It's interactive now. We've got a Twitter poll. Where is it, Curtis? I'm going to retweet it. Is it on your account?
I tweeted it, yeah.
I'm going to retweet it, and we're going to get even more.
Oh,
and we're going to find out really what humanity is all about.
Yeah, that should be great. That
You're
should
trending
be great.
On Twitter, Curtis. Okay, here we go.
I'd like to point out, Bob, you think this man creates radio gold?
I'm Curtis Siebold. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
That was one of my.
You got to wait for
these.
Right, yes, I am.
Get you some more votes here. Right?
Considering Bob has four times the followers than I do.
Yeah, 71 to 29. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Should be a hoot.
Should be a lot of fun. Bob, your impressions of this matchup are what? What jumps at you?
I think it has the. I love the fact that the bookies don't really know, which means it's a toss-up. Obviously, this is just basically a pick'em game. You know, 1.5 Chiefs, 1.5. I think it has the makings of a really good Super Bowl, and it has the makings of a really good offensive Super Bowl. If Jimmy Garoppolo can kind of rise to the occasion, because I think the 49ers, they're going to have to score some points because this Chiefs team is so good. I think it'll be the biggest challenge for the Chiefs in terms of going against a defense that potentially can stop them. And I say that because their pass rush is just ferocious. And Aaron Rodgers couldn't deal with it. Patrick Mahomes is younger, more mobile, faster, more resourceful at this point in his career. And I know that's saying something, but Rodgers, look, he's in his mid to late 30s. And, you know, Mahomes is the younger guy. So I think that gives him an advantage. But you know, if he slings it and if he is on his game, which he has always been, I give the Chiefs the edge, and I think the Chiefs will kind of come out and win the game.
No one game can define, you know, what something is. You always can have anomalies. If Mahomes gets sacked and fumbles two or three times and it's turned over, the ball gets tipped at the line of scrimmage and gets picked off and run back for seven, it's not going to define anything. But is there anything about this matchup? The Chiefs are going up against their third straight team that really likes to run the ball. That's one of the big debates now in analytics, is the relative importance of running the football. Is that at stake here?
Well, why don't you ask Eric Eager, since he has all the answers about that kind of stuff. Why are you asking
Jeff
me?
Jeff Chedid has been, you know, I have a wager with Jeff Chedid right now as to which quarterback would win a Super Bowl first. Would it be Patrick Mahomes or would it be Lamar Jackson? Right? And when the Ravens were flying high, that's when he made this wager. And I said, it's not going to be Lamar Jackson because you have to be able to throw the ball to win. You can't beat three or four playoff teams in a row without having an effective passing offense. And I don't mean just play action, seven-yard throws to the tight end that's beautifully schemed. Wonderfully, I'm not trying to take away anything from what they did. But what they did was get up on people and stay up. But at some point against playoff competition, you're going to have to come from behind. And when you got to come from behind, you got to go to the air. And during the playoffs, you're going to have to convert third and eight, or you're not going to get points. And you can't do that when you're just pounding the rock. I do think there's a bit of a statement that's going to be made in the Super Bowl if the Chiefs win of, you know, if you ain't got a quarterback, there ain't no bother.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that, with all due respect to my good friend Jeff Chedid. Who I would, you know, I don't like to see him lose a bet, but I would think that he would lose this one. That's why I said before, if Jimmy Garoppolo's got a throw, I mean, and he's on, they got a chance here. But now, you know, the one factor in the Chiefs, well, several factors, but you know, and Patrick Mahomes is first and foremost among them. But you know, their defense got so much better, and this is almost a carbon copy of what Steve Spagnuolo did with the Giants in 07. He did it in a year, and he's doing it in a year. So this is his second job as a defensive coordinator, taking a team to a Super Bowl in his first year. That's not an accident, man. He's a good schemer, but he also has the players to get those schemes going. And Frank Clark is playing big in these playoffs, and you know, there's good. The Honey Badger is a great guy to have, man. That guy was so fired up. And he made one big hit in the two-minute drill. I think it was near the end of the first half. And, you know, he was, like, puffing his chest a little bit. He had to quickly get back, but it was like, wow. He stood out on the field. And when you have that kind of production from your defense, you can do a lot of things as a play caller, and that makes a difference. And that's why Jimmy G is going to have to do something in this game. He's going to have to make plays. He's not going to throw under 10 passes for under 100 yards and win this football game. There's no doubt about that.
What I think one of the things, you know, we were talking about, Ryan Tannehill had only thrown, you know, under 100 yards for two straight games. He comes in against the Chiefs, and they have to go to the air. To me, when you only throw it that much, it's because you're afraid of your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Because throwing the ball
right. –
Like when we talk about, well, passing's so much more efficient, I had somebody look at me and they go like, well, what do you, I mean, like, why would you say that? I said, well, let me give you an example. Like every rushing attempt, right? Jamaal Charles is the best that's ever lived, right, in yards per carry.
Yeah.
That's what I told the guy. At like 5.4, I think, is what he ended up at. At one point he's like 5.7, but like 5.4. 5.4 yards per carry. I said, you know, bad quarterbacks average like 6 yards, and it's a terrible quarterback, 6. Bad quarterback, 7. Mahomes, 8.3 yards per attempt. Not per completion, per attempt. So the more times you throw the ball, the more yards you get. That's the efficiency of it. It's literally that simple as to why the passing is more important. And when it comes to, you know, you don't face third and, you know, first and 10, second and 6.5, third and 3, you know, you get zeros and negative twos and ones, and you have to be able to overcome third and 10, third and 12, third and 15. And to do that, you have to be able to throw the ball. But even if you're going good, there are times that you have set them up with the run to where there is a big play that will finish them off through the air, and they won't do it. The Titans wouldn't do it. The 49ers wouldn't do it. That is a fear of your quarterback. Is that fair?
I agree with you. And you know, we talked about this. The one thing about Garoppolo is that he's got a big arm. He's tough. He will hang in. But he will also throw into coverage. And that is a potential killer for this football team. And I will agree with you. I mean, they had him throw. Did he throw like eight times? Right?
Six of eight.
This last week?
Yeah.
And nine?
Like, six of eight, I think I saw.
Six of eight. And that's insane. So in this playoff, it's incredible that there were three playoff victories by teams whose quarterbacks threw for under 100 yards. I don't know when the last time we've seen that was. I can't imagine that it's any time in the recent past. So, okay, yeah, you got to have the running game, and that's good. That can, you know, be winning football. Well, it's Neanderthal football, and it worked for the Titans for two games, but it worked until they had to score points. And you knew, and you could feel it. You know, after Mahomes scored that great rushing touchdown. By the way, I had this debate with someone in my office, and he was like, I think you're being a little hyperbole about that. That wasn't so great. Like, that was a great play. Am I wrong? That rushing touchdown?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, okay. And that's the thing. The guy has no weaknesses.
Yeah, he's nothing. So when you're up against a team like that, you know you got to score points. I mean, that game was over after that play because the Titans then had to rely on Ryan Tannehill, and they couldn't do it. And he threw into coverage. He threw short. He threw long. He was just all over the place. And it was like, okay, you know, this is who the guy is. It is who he is. I mean, he's a limited quarterback. It was a great story. He's the comeback player of the year, whatever you want to have, although I had Garoppolo as my AP comeback player of the year from the ACL. This is what you have when you're limited at the quarterback position. So we'll see what kind of play caller Kyle Shanahan is against a very, very good defense. And I think the Chiefs are a better defense than the Packers were. And if the 49ers have to throw the ball to score points, that's where I think the Chiefs can have some success. The one thing that if I'm a Chiefs fan is, what's going to happen to Mahomes if that pass rush is as good as it has been in this last half of the season? Right, that's a problem. And that's also a problem when you don't have a running game. Now, draw plays are gonna work against that team that penetrates so fast upfield, but I don't know that they have the ability to do that. I think Andy's got to call a few of those to kind of keep them honest. But it's going to be a little bit tricky to make sure Patrick Mahomes has a cleanish pocket. It's never going to be clean because the 49ers are that good in the pass rush. You've got a cleanish, and if he can scramble around and avoid those guys, then, he'll be okay. But that's a big if, because this is an awfully good defense, and it's an awfully good pass-rushing defense.
He set records outside the pocket, and he was the highest-rated passer when he had a clean pocket. The highest-rated passer with a clean pocket in the NFL last year. And then he set records, and I'm talking about in 18, because he didn't play all the games this year. But he set records for how he was playing when he scrambles outside the pocket. How do you rush him? Like, what do you do? Do you contain? Do you come up the middle? Like, how do you rush Patrick Mahomes? Because if you can figure that out as the Chiefs, then you know what to expect.
Yeah. I think you got to mix it up a little bit, but I do think there is a way. I think you do play contain. You try to keep him from going outside. And then, you alternate with a spy. And I think spying Patrick Mahomes can work for the 49ers. Tyrann Mathieu is like a kind of that kind of body type of a player, can be a spy. Obviously the 49ers don't have that, but that kind of player or a fast linebacker. And that, to me, is the way you kind of just limit it. Because if Patrick gets outside the pocket and he's free, you have that runaround left end that he did against the Titans because everyone's downfield in the pass pattern. But if you can kind of limit it, and you got to mix it up a little bit because he'll figure it out, and Andy will figure it out. But if you mix it up, contain, and then use a spy when when you think the time is right, then they got a shot. Now, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, is good, man. He's aggressive. Players love him. He will call. He will take some chances. So I think he's going to throw a number of things at Patrick Mahomes to try to contain him. I don't know that you can fully do it, but it's that's where the 49ers would win if they were able to contain Patrick Mahomes. That's really the only path to victory in my mind.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about a little more on the Chiefs, but also I want to talk about some of the news in the NFL. We'll do that next with Bob Glauber. He's our NFL insider. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Get up there and see him today. I-29 and Tiffany Springs. You can come over and see us today and get stocked up for the big game. Henhouse has literally everything you need for the big game, whether that's the delicatessen giving you all kinds of great party snacks, dips, everything you need, the great meat counter, all the proteins. You want to get some steaks going, some burgers, whatever you need. It's here at your neighborhood henhouse. That even includes the real beer here on the Kansas side.
The program with Soren Petrov.
He's really good. And I don't know if you know this. He's kind of a colorful fellow that also creates some interest that makes it fun.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Curtis Siebold with me here at Hen House, where you can get stocked up. Everything you need for the big game is right here. I got our friends from CBD American Shaman here. You can sample before you buy it their new sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime, the coconut flavor as well. Big, big hit. Jed, I know you're sour.
Always.
No, but I know how much you like. Which one's the one you like the most?
I like
strawberry lime.
Yeah, I like that one. Watermelon lime, I believe it is.
It is great, and it's available now at your hen houses. So thanks to our friends at CBD American Shaman. You can sample that. They have also, as we have run out of our A10 shirts, they have now picked up the slack with their great, beautiful CBD American Shaman 15, beautiful red T-shirt. With the number 15, it's a great T-shirt. You can grab one of those while you're here at Hen House. It's 135th and Metcalf, so come on out and see us while you're getting stocked up for the weekend, for the next week. Maybe you're already getting geared up for the big game. Get your festivities done. We're here at the Harry's Brewery, which is where they sell the real beer now, even on the Kansas side. Great selection of beers right here at the Hen House. All your neighborhood hen houses have you covered. Bob Glauber is with us on our Sprint guest line. Bob, Antonio Brown has lost his mind. Do you remember when you argued with me that he would once again be a productive player?
When, I'm sorry, the phone ran out. Did you say something? I said that? I really said that? When?
Yes.
When did we have the conversation.
We had the conversation about, I said, listen, these wide receiver divas, when they start to go off the deep end, there's no coming back, right? We got into it about, Odell Beckham Jr., I said, the Giants actually got decent return. We talked about it, I said, because he's not coming back, right? It's just going to get worse. And it ramps up. So it's not, he hasn't gone, Antonio Brown lost his mind. Odell Beckham Jr., but he's still in the LSU locker room slapping cops on the rear end. He's still getting better, and Antonio Brown has completely lost his mind.
Yes, I agree. Two things. First of all, Beckham, to me, is like we've lost the room. He's that's it. I'll agree with you. He is not getting better. This narcissism is just poison. Poison.
Yes.
And it's going to – he's not going to the Hall of Fame. He's not going to a championship. It's just sad because he has that kind of talent. Now, the difference there with Antonio Brown, though, Antonio Brown has got – I mean, he has got legitimate mental health issues, I think. I think I read somewhere where the police are ordering him to undergo a psych exam because – these are problems way beyond hitting a cop on the butt in the LSU locker room. I mean, Antonio Brown.
Listen, I'm not here telling you I can diagnose what the man has. I'm just telling you it starts and it keeps going. I'm not insensitive to the man. He's a human being, and I want him to get whatever help he needs or find happiness in some way, shape, or form. Maybe he's got dementia. Maybe he's got CTE. Or maybe he's just an a-hole. Maybe he just needs more and more attention, which is part of what I think is out there. And so eventually you get to the point that the only thing that will draw attention to you is either just threatening it or actually meaning to do harm to yourself. I'm sensitive to all that, but I just think that this is a great example for not great as in, you know, positive, but you know, this is something for fans to file away. Cause I take calls about why did the Chiefs go to get Odell Beckham Jr.? How come should the Chiefs trade a pick for Antonio Brown? No,
yep.
No, you cannot build a winning culture with a bunch of a-holes.
And you look at the Chiefs. Now, listen, I mean, Tyreek Hill is still a work in progress, and, you know, hopefully he's on the straight and narrow and going to be a productive citizen off the field. But you talk about young receivers. I mean, Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill is like that's really what you need. I mean, he's young, fast, productive, great returner in Mecole, and that's the way you do it. And when you can win on first contracts, and now, you know, with a modest second contract for Tyreek Hill, that's the way to do it. So I'm with you on that, Serena. You got me. You got me on running backs. Now you got me on receivers.
Okay.
And especially okay.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to get to Kareem Hunt getting arrested with marijuana. Is it over for Kareem Hunt? I don't think this is going to get him kicked out of the league, but if he's dumb enough to get arrested with possession of marijuana on his second chance that he's not going to screw up and blah, 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 the, you know, tearfelt statement that he made. If Kareem Hunt's going to get arrested with marijuana right now, is it a sign that he's just not ever going to fully have it together?
I think it's certainly trending in that direction. And when you run afoul of the NFL and you don't kind of get it together, and you keep tripping up, it's a problem. I mean, he had the talent coming into the NFL. He was a red flag guy in terms of his off-field stuff and his personality stuff. So there was no, I mean, and he had the great rookie season. Wow, he came from out of nowhere, you know, small school. Oh, this is, you know, what'd they miss? Well, they didn't really miss anything. You know, there's a problem there. And, running backs even are less. There's just so, you know, you churn through them, and unless you're elite and reliably elite, you're not going to have a place in this league for long. So, it's a shame. It really is a shame because there's so much talent there.
Yeah, no one player is worth you know, sacrificing the culture of your team. That's as simple as that. All right, let's go. Final four time. We got about a minute, Bob. Let's start with this. Tom Brady plays where next year?
I still think he'll play in New England next year. If not New England, Chicago or the Chargers. But I still think New England.
Okay. What's your Super Bowl pick right now?
For this year, it would be...
Yes.
Yeah. Chiefs, 34. 49ers, 25.
Okay, you don't tell time. We got to move here. Eli Manning, Hall of Fame, yes or no?
Yes. I believe he will get in, and I believe he deserves to get in.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Such a farce. Yep. Next, how many Super Bowls for Patrick Mahomes in his career wearing a Chiefs uniform? Just appearances, not wins. How many?
Appearances?
Yes.
Three.
Way low.
Yeah.
Bob, you're now dismissed.
Jazz. End of the hour question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what was the first team to win a Super Bowl while being outgained in yardage?
Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.